Since the 2011 federal election, Stephen Harper and his cabinet have increased the rhetoric supporting war on Iran. Harper has called Iran the greatest threat to world peace, while Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird has compared the Iranian leadership to that of Nazi Germany. The Canadian Peace Alliance is warning that the process in the West that led to the 2003 U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq is very similar to the current situation with Iran. Glenn Michaelchuk is the chair of Peace Alliance Winnipeg and a member of the Canadian Peace Alliance Steering Committee, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you for having us.
Recently, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was in Ottawa, and he visited Harper. And one thing I noticed in the mainstream media is that it was reported that Harper had said he would support a peaceful resolution to the conflict between Israel and Iran. But given that he said this, but previously he said, you know, much more war-supporting words, how aggressive is Harper's stance on Iran?
Well, I don't think you can take what Harper says about supporting peaceful means to solutions to any of the problems in the Middle East for much. I think part of the problem that the U.S. and Canada are having is, and this is what many commentators are mentioning about the question of a possible war on Iran, is that it could provoke a much wider war in the region. And it's certainly... has enormous and dangerous consequences for not only that region, but for the world. Because, of course, Iran has its own alliances, and its alliances are with Russia and China, and they would probably not stand by in the case of war. They would certainly intervene in one way or another to help and support Iran. On the other hand, the U.S., and especially the U.S., and you have to understand that when we talk about the policy of Iran, it's U.S. driving that policy, and of course Canada aligns with that policy. Canada, Europe, and other members of the NATO alliance align with that policy, and the U.S. policy is one of trying to control the Middle East, both in terms of its natural resources, and the main one being oil, and of course also to control the Middle East, because that also deals with their encirclement and constraint on Russia and China. China, for one, relies heavily on Iranian oil. The U.S. relies on the Middle East for oil because its own resources are very small in terms of oil. So it's a very strategic reason. And I think Canadians have to understand that when this rhetoric takes place about Iran and the danger it poses to world peace, that this rhetoric is what is to justify the war. It has no real bearing in terms of Iran as a state in the world and what it's done. And like many of these wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, these wars are cloaked in other pretexts. There'd be no way you could get people to support a war in Afghanistan if people were told up front that really the war in Afghanistan was also about securing raw materials, securing strategic positions for military bases and so on. So people wouldn't support this very, very far. And when Baird or Harper speak about Iran, they are quite prepared when the conditions arise to, I'm sure, to take Canada into a war, probably through the NATO alliance.
One of the things we've been hearing, and you know, similar to the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, is that Iran has or will have capacity to build a nuclear weapon at some point. How real is this information?
Well, it could well be. I mean, Iran has declared that its pursuit of nuclear investigation into nuclear power and energy and so on is entirely peaceful, and that it has no objectives beyond that. I mean, it could well be that they do have those objectives, but I guess the question one has to look at, if one is trying to single out Iran for nuclear ambitions, then you have to ask, you know, what about the nuclear powers that already exist? We know that the United States, Britain, France, China, Russia, North Korea all have nuclear weapons. Israel itself is an undeclared nuclear power. In the context of the Iranian state and government and people, they must look at these situations and say, well, if one country is doing these things, then we certainly have the right to do it in our own defense, just as they maintain conventional military and so on. So what their final objectives are is not known. But even if it were that, you have to look at the problem of the arms race that's not only related to Iran, but to related to all those countries who are engaged in this.
Iran does have nuclear energy capacity, as does Canada, and no one's claiming that Canada has any plans to build nuclear weapons because of that. But with these nuclear energy facilities, if there was an attack on Iran, it could be quite dangerous, I would assume, in terms of the health and the environmental consequences, not only for Iran, but also for the larger region. Given this, isn't this something that countries like Israel in the region would probably want to avoid?
Well, it doesn't seem to be the case from the statements that Israel's made. Yes, you're right. I mean, even if you accept that it's only a peaceful project, any kind of attack on whatever facilities Iran has, whatever nuclear reactors they have, would of course distribute into the environment radioactivity, and that has to be a concern. It doesn't seem to be the concerns either of the U.S. or Israel. And you have to remember that the U.S. has said that it would be prepared at some point to entertain military action against Iran. So,
and that it's something that's, I guess it's hard to believe that the U.S. would be willing to take that step, especially because it has just come out of a very long and unpopular and very expensive war in Iraq, and is still in Afghanistan, where things are not going well, and where there seems to be a lot of trouble. In terms of why they are, you know, taking such an aggressive position on Iran, and I guess you talked about that in terms of the what's in the region, but how would they be able to sell this to the public?
The same way they did the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And the same thing, what they're doing is they're trying to say it's not about their strategic interests there. It's about something else. With Afghanistan, it was about the question of Afghanistan harboring terrorism. That sort of got morphed into also a struggle for a new and democratic Afghanistan. So we see where that's ended up. But with Iraq, it would be, and this is exactly the rhetoric that's being issued by, taken up by John Baird, Stephen Harper, issued by people like Netanyahu and Barack Obama, that Iran represents a threat to the region and it represents a threat to the world. Now, that is just totally unfounded. First of all, Iran has not occupied or invaded any other countries in the area. It has done things only in its own self-interest and only within. The last war that Iran was involved in was in the 1980s with Iraq. And it was Iraq who provoked that war. And at that time, Iraq was a close ally with the United States. And that war, the timing of that war, was coincidental with the Shah of Iran being deposed about 5 or 6 years earlier. And a regime coming to power, a government coming to power, that was strongly pro-Iranian, strongly anti-U.S. because of their whole history of what they had gone through under the Shah of Iran, which was a U.S. dictator. So Iran has never done anything to threaten the interests of the Middle East or its neighboring countries. The whole politics of the Middle East is, of course, very dangerous and very volatile. But it doesn't come from the particular actions of a country like Iran or other countries. It comes from, I mean, the legacy of the politics in the Middle East is 60 years of interference. I mean, I'm just talking about the recent history of 60 years of interference in the affairs of those countries, whether we talk about Syria, Egypt, Lebanon, all those countries. They were interfered with by the U.S., the Soviet Union, policies were established. Even the continued for 60-plus years, the denial of the Palestinian rights, again, with the support of Europe, the United States, and Canada. These are what are make the politics in the Middle East volatile. And this is why you have these clashes. And it's clear you have clashes between Iran and Israel on the question of what's happening to the Palestinian people, etc. You have these clashes between Egypt and Israel on the questions of the Palestinian people. So the volatility of the politics is not the blame of the Iranians or the Egyptians or any of that, but the interference there for, in the recent period, these 60 years of stirring up the problems there.
I just want to bring it back to Canada, and with all what Harper and Baird and his ministers have been saying, I would think there would be a lot of opportunity for the opposition to be quite critical of this. But we haven't heard a lot. And, you know, from what I've heard of the NDP leadership campaign, I haven't heard a lot of any policy. But in terms of on war and foreign policy, you know, really the only debate I've heard is on whether contracts for warplanes should be tendered in a better way, not on whether we actually should be buying warplanes or whether we should be considering engaging in more wars or getting out of the ones we're already in. Why isn't the NDP being more vocal in opposing Harper on this? It would seem like an easy target.
And that's a good question. It's an important question, because if the NDP wants to stand as an alternative to the present course of events, they have to distance themselves from the present course of events and offer a new policy and a new outlook for Canada. If they don't do that, they're just going to be a rehash of what we already have. And that would make them, I mean, I guess closest rehash would be that of the Liberal Party. But I can say that members of the Peace Alliance and the Canadian Peace Alliance have been trying to push candidates to get them to take stands on these questions. But we'll see where those things go. But I think it is crucial that for political parties, if they want to tackle questions of Canadian foreign policy in a progressive and new way that asserts Canada's right to be independent, and Canada is not independent now on the questions of policy. And I'd say the only party, if you remember back to the Syrian intervention, the Libyan intervention, only the Green Party stood against it.
Yeah. So just lastly, I wanted to ask you in terms of organizing, given that, you know, there is a lot of danger in terms of war in Iran and also a possible engagement in Syria and the ongoing in Libya, what events do you have planned and what organizing is planned for the near future?
Well, I think one of the things that's always very important is for Canadians to understand what's happening. And that often does not happen. And it's good that shows like this exist, because the mainstream media certainly doesn't do a very good job on exposing that. This Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. at Mondragon Bookstore and Coffee House, we have Eve Engler. And he has done an important book on Lester Pearson. And it's called Lester Pearson's Peacekeeping: The Truth May Hurt. And it really challenges that this myth of what Canada's roles played in the world. Very important. And then later on in the summer, in June, we're going to have the Peace Walk and Peace Festival. And I'm sure these issues are going to be central to those.
Great. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Glenn Michalczyk. He's the chair of Peace Alliance Winnipeg. And there is more information on the events he mentioned. And also there are articles at peacealliancewinnipeg.ca. You're listening to Mud and Water, mudandwater.org on CKUW 95.9 FM.